welcome to Troll Radio Review. We are back over here at the Performing Arts Center, 16th and Franklin. Come on and join us. We have guests from Astoria Music Festival today to make this an amazingly special program. Right now, we've got our house band welcoming you to Troll Radio Review. I'm your host, Debbie Twombly. Troll Radio Review is a collaborative effort of Coast Community Radio, Fort George, and Clatsop Community College's Performing Arts Center. All we need is you. Today's program is a benefit for the regional food bank, so we're here to help everybody and have a good time while we do it. Thanks for being here. Hear more from our own classic band. Our Troll Radio Review house band will be back later, but we're going to welcome Nancy Montgomery right now, who has had the good fortune to fall into friendships with members of the Astoria Music Festival and is going to be introducing them today. And so please welcome Nancy.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi.
Well, please forgive me if I eat the mic too much or too little. I'm not used to this. So today we have two musicians from the Astoria Music Festival, which is in its umpteenth year this year. What year is it? The 12th, I think? I'm not sure. 14th. Oh my goodness. And they do a classical kids concert every Saturday, every year. And Carrie has always been at the helm of those. This year we're going to be doing Aesop's Fables and Babar the Elephant. We're going to begin with Aesop's Fables, composed by Anthony Plaug, who was born in 1947, and his works have been performed in over 30 countries. He's also a renowned trumpet player, both as a soloist and in several symphonies and orchestras. And as for Aesop, 2,500 years ago, before famous wise people like Aristotle and Buddha, in an age when people told time by shadows from the sun on sundials, Aesop told his fables. He was born into slavery. I didn't know that. In the country that's now known as Turkey, but he earned his freedom by exposing the foibles and the funny failings of human character through the telling of these beast tales. As for these two musicians, Carrie Lewis on piano and Susan Welty on the horn, they've been rehearsing and performing all week. This is the last day for each of them. Carrie will perform at 4 p.m. this afternoon with three others, including a painter on stage with them. And Susan will perform in the orchestra tonight at 7:30 at the Liberty with Stravinsky, Mozart, Mahler, and Chopin in the repertoire. And I just wanted to tell you that at age 10, how many people here are at age 10? How many here are younger than age 10? How old are you? Are you younger than 10? You're younger than 10, right? Carrie, at age 10, he wanted to be a cowboy. And in order to be a cowboy, you had to play the guitar. But his parents said that in order to take guitar lessons, he had to first learn how to play the piano. You'll get to hear how far he's taken that in just a few minutes. Susan Welty on the horn. How old were you when you first started playing the horn?
Fifth grade, I think that's 10.
10, yeah, yeah.
And I started on trumpet, and I was 13th out of 14th in the seating. So obviously I was not terrifically talented. I had no high notes, but I had a good ear, so they put me on horn, and that's where I flourished.
And what kept you, what hooked you?
Oh gosh, I just love playing. And I got a lot of good feedback. I think when you get positive feedback, you tend to keep going.
Well, you'll be able to, you won't be able to give her some positive feedback today, except for through your applause at the end, because she has to go right over to rehearse at the Liberty for the orchestra pieces tonight.
But before we begin, okay, did you know, who here knows that music can paint pictures? Yeah? And tell stories? But not without you guys and your imagination, your vast ability to pretend. Who here is really good at pretending? Yeah, I think so. Yeah? Stuart?
No.
Well, everyone who, wait a minute. Everyone here has an imagination, right? So who has used your imagination today? Already? You pretended at something? Well, today, right now, you guys have a job. I'm going to read parts of the stories. These musicians are going to tell the story, painting the pictures with their music. And if you listen to the words and you let the music and your imagination create the pictures, you'll see the story in your mind. You guys ready? Yeah? Are you ready? Yeah! Aesop's Fables, The Tortoise and the Hare. One afternoon, a hare who was going into town on a country road met a tortoise who was going in the same direction. Hare made fun of the slow-moving tortoise, and he said, "Your feet are so ugly and small, and your shell is so heavy and big, I'm surprised you can move at all." But the tortoise only said, "Small and ugly, big and heavy. I think I can beat you in a race to town." "You must be joking," said the hare. "No, I'm not," replied the tortoise. And the hare just laughed and said, "You are so dumb. This will be the easiest race I have ever won." And with that, they began the race. So fast and the tortoise so slow that within no time at all there was a huge distance between them. And so the hare decided to rest for a while. He ate some grass. He drank some water. And then he stretched a little, and before he knew it, he was fast asleep. In the meantime, while the hare was sleeping, the tortoise was slowly moving forward. He did not stop for grass or water, and pretty soon he plodded by the sleeping hare, which brought him very close to town. And still the hare was sleeping, but finally he began to wake up. Well, with a start, he realized that the tortoise had passed him while he was sleeping. And as he looked down the road, he could barely see the tortoise approaching town. So he began to run as fast as he could, faster than he had ever run before. And soon he stood, and he could see that he was getting very close to the tortoise, but he was too late. The tortoise had already won the race. The Mouse and the Lion. one day, a great big lion was sleeping in the jungle. His paw, and when he popped it open, he found that he had captured a tiny little mouse. "Please, Mr. Lion," begged the mouse, "please don't eat me."
"Why not?" said the lion.
"Well, if you don't eat me," said the mouse, thinking quickly, "I will be able to help you someday, and perhaps even save your life."
"How can a small mouse help save a giant beast like myself?" thought the lion.
But the mouse seemed so terrified of the lion that he let him go anyway. The next day, the same majestic lion was making his way through the jungle, admiring the view. Can you see the jungle? All of a sudden, he was lifted straight up into the air. He had walked right into a hunter's net. For miles around, the animals shuddered when they heard his thunderous roar. Well, actually, all of the animals except one. When the mouse heard the mighty roars, he ran to where the lion was, and he climbed onto the net. "Now I can help you, Mr. Lion," said the mouse, and he chewed and he chewed and he chewed the hunter's net. With one final bite, the lion slipped free and threw and was free. "Well, Mr. Mouse," said the lion, "you sure kept your word. Won't you please join me now as I go on my walk?" And with that, they set out together on that bright and beautiful day. Which proves that an act of kindness, no matter how small, is ever wasted. Number 3, the wind and the sun. A quarrel took place between the north wind and the sun over who was more powerful. Neither could convince the other of its ultimate power. But when they saw a man on the road far below, they knew they had found a way of settling their dispute. "Get the cloak off the back of that traveler," said the North Wind. "Whoever can do that would surely be more powerful," agreed the Sun. The North Wind went first and sent out a long blast of cold air. trying to blow off the man's garment. Oh, boy, is it cold, said the traveler. But the cold air just made him shiver and rub his hands together to keep warm. After several of these blasts, in one final effort, the north wind let out an even longer blast of cold air. But the traveler only pulled his garment tighter and tighter, right? So, the sun went next. After driving the clouds from the sky, he sent down his warm rays on the traveler. Sun's beams were not forceful or violent, they still had their effect. Oh, I was so cold before, said the traveler, but now I'm becoming too warm. Perhaps I should take off my cloak. And with that, he did, and went over to rest in the shade of the nearest tree. Said the sun to the wind. Gentle persuasion is always better than force. The Dove and the Ant. It was midday and hot still. And an ant went walking to a fountain to quench his thirst. He climbed up and up and up, but he found that he could not get close enough to the water for a drink, so he leaned over and over and over until he finally fell in. Help! Help, he cried. I'm drowning, and I have no chance to survive unless somebody saves me. Luckily for him, a dove was sitting in a nearby tree. Cries, he plucked a leaf from the tree with his beak. He flew down to the fountain and placed it in the water. Although it was only a small leaf, it was like a raft for the ant, who was able to paddle safely to the side of the fountain. Thank you, Mr. Dove, he said. You saved my life. I shall never forget this. Whereupon the dove said, you're welcome, and flew back to his favorite branch on his favorite tree. Unknown to the dove, a fowler had been watching him and has been preparing to catch him that very day. He snuck quietly up on the dove and was just about to catch him when he screamed,
Ouch!
Who bit me on the heel? He looked down and saw the ant scurrying for cover. And when he looked up again, the dove had already flown away. Thank you, Mr. Ant, said the dove. You also saved my life, and I shall never forget this. Which proves that one good turn deserves another. And our last Aesop fable for the day, the mule. A mule, who had grown contented and very happy with herself, commenced one day to run and jump and behave in a very outrageous manner. She noticed how fast she could run, and soon she was convinced that no one was faster than she. Joyfully, and I can run at least as fast as she. And with that, she began sprinting back and forth and back and forth to prove how fast she was. But soon, her running became slower and slower and slower, and finally she could only walk. And then she became so exhausted that she came to a complete stop. I should have remembered that even though my mother was a racehorse, my father was a donkey. I guess there are two sides to every truth. Goodbye to Susan Welty as she heads off to her next rehearsal for her concert tonight at the Liberty. Oh, wait a minute. So now, don't go anywhere yet. I mean, unless you have to pee or something. We're gonna do the story of Babar. Has anybody ever heard the story of Babar? Anyone? A few of you. Yeah, a lot of you. Okay, yeah, a lot of you. This book is very, 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 maybe first edition. No, I don't think so, but it's really an old, beautiful library book. Very well loved from our beloved Miss Debbie Twombly. Where's my notes? There they are. The music for the story of Babar, the story was written by Jean de Brunhoff, and the music composed by Francis Poulenc. In the great forest, a little elephant is born. His name is Babar. His mother loves him very much. She rocks him to sleep with her trunk while singing to him. Thank you.
Babar has grown bigger. He's now playing with the other little elephants. He's a very good little elephant. You can see him digging in the sand with his shell with all the other elephants. Babar is riding happily on his mother's back. Hunter, hidden behind some bushes, shoots at them. The hunter has killed Babar's mother. The monkey hides and the birds fly away. Babar cries. And the hunter runs to catch poor Babar. But Babar runs away because he's afraid of the hunter. After several days, very tired indeed, he comes to a town. He hardly knows what to make of it because this is the first time that he has seen so many houses. So many things are new to him. The broad streets, the automobiles, and the buses. However, he is especially interested in two gentlemen that he notices on the street. He says to himself, "Really? They are very well dressed. I would like to have some fine clothes too. I wonder how I could get them." But luckily, a very rich old lady who has always been fond of little elephants understands right away that he is longing for a fine suit. As she likes to make people happy, she gives him her purse. Babar politely says to her, "Thank you, madam." Without wasting any time, Babar goes into a big store. He enters the elevator. It is such fun to ride up and down in his funny box, right? That he rides all the way to the top 10 times and all the way down 10 times. He did not want to stop, but the elevator boy finally said to him, this is not a toy, Mr. Elephant. You must get out and go do your shopping. Look, here is the floor walker. So Babar buys himself some things. A shirt with a collar and a tie, and then a suit of a becoming shade of green, and then a handsome derby hat. And shoes also with spats. Very fancy.
well satisfied with his purchases and feeling very elegant indeed, Babar now goes to the photographer to have his picture taken. And here is his photograph. Now, I know it's hard to see because it's so far away, but here it is. Isn't he handsome? Babar dines with his friend, the old lady. She thinks that he looks very smart in his new clothes, and after dinner, because he is tired, he goes to bed and falls asleep very quickly. Babar now lives at the old lady's house. In the mornings, he does setting up exercises with her. Takes his bath. He goes out for an automobile ride every day. And the old lady has given him the car. She gives him whatever he wants. A learned professor gives him lessons, and Babar pays attention and does well in his work. He is a good pupil, and he makes rapid progress. And in the evenings, after dinner, he tells the old lady's friends all about his life in the great forest. However, Babar is not quite happy, for he misses playing in the forest with his little cousins and his friends, the monkeys. Like those little monkeys. He often stands at the window thinking sadly of his childhood, and he cries when he remembers his mother. Have passed. One day, during his walk, he sees two little elephants coming running towards them. They have no clothes on. "Why," he says in astonishment to the old lady, it's Arthur and Celeste, my little cousins." Babar kisses them affectionately and hurries off with them to buy them some fine clothes. To a pastry shop to eat some good cakes. Thank you. Meanwhile, back in the forest, the elephants are calling and hunting high and low for Arthur and Celeste, and their mothers are very worried. Fortunately, in flying over the town, an old marabou bird has seen them and comes back quickly to tell the news. The mothers of Arthur and Celeste have come to the town to fetch them. Oh, they are very happy to have them back, but they scold them just the same because they ran away. Makes up his mind to go back with Arthur and Celeste and their mothers to see the great forest again. And the old lady helps him pack his trunk. They are all ready to start. Babar kisses the old lady goodbye. He would be quite happy to go if it were not for leaving her. He promises to come back someday. He will never forget her. They have gone. There is no room in the car for the mothers, so they run behind and lift their trunks up to avoid breathing the dust. The old lady is left alone. Sadly, she wonders, when shall I see my little Babar again? Alas, that very day, the king of the elephants has eaten a bad mushroom. That very day, the king of the elephants had eaten a bad mushroom. Yeah, it's tasty at first, too. Yeah? That he died. This was a great calamity. And after the funeral, the three oldest elephants were holding a meeting to choose a new king. Just then, they heard a noise. They turned around, and guess what they see? Babar arriving in his car, and all of the elephants running and shouting, "Here they are, here they are. Hello, Babar. Hello, Arthur. Hello, Celeste. What beautiful clothes. What a beautiful car." Then Cornelius, the oldest of all the elephants, spoke in his quavering voice, "My good friends, we are seeking a king. Why not choose Babar? He has just returned from the big city, and he has learned so much about living among men. Let us crown him king." All the other elephants thought that Cornelius had spoken wisely, and eagerly they awaited Babar's reply.
I want to thank you, one and all, said Babar. But before accepting your proposal, I must explain to you that while we were traveling in the car, Celeste and I became engaged. If I become your king, she will be your queen.
Long live Queen Celeste, everybody! Long live King Babar!
Long live King Babar!
Cried all the elephants without a moment's hesitation. And thus it was that Babar became king.
Good ideas, said Babar to Cornelius. I will therefore make you a general, and when I get my crown, I will give you my hat. In a week, I shall marry Celeste, and we will then have a splendid party in honor of our marriage and our coronation. And then, turning to the birds, Babar asks them to go and invite all of the animals to the festivities. And he tells the dromedary to go to the town and buy some beautiful wedding clothes.
The dromedary is a camel.
The wedding guests begin to arrive. The dromedary
camel
returns with the bridal costumes just in the nick of time for the ceremony. The marriage of Babar and Celeste. The coronation of Babar and Celeste. after the wedding and the coronation, everybody dances merrily. Festivities are over. Night has fallen. The stars have risen in the sky. King Babar and Queen Celeste are indeed very happy. Now the world is asleep, and the guests have gone home, happy though tired from so much dancing. They will long remember this great celebration. And now, King Babar and Queen Celeste, both eager for further adventures, set out on their honeymoon in a gorgeous yellow balloon.
Thank you so much. Thanks to Carrie Lewis and Nancy Montgomery. That was a fabulous, fabulous presentation. What a gift it is for us to have the Astoria Music Festival here doing so many amazing things. You can catch more of them today. Today there's a happy hour at the Liberty Theater with Sergei's annual happy hour. It's an informal chamber music hour, and it sounds like it's going to be quite lovely. So a great way to expose yourself to some really amazing new music. We've got, and tonight Keith Clark will be conducting a Saturday symphony. If you've gone to any of the events so far, you have received this absolutely amazing program, which is suitable for keeping. It's just great. It has all the different events in it. And tomorrow there's a big opera, a Giuseppe Verdi, the troubadour. I'm not going to even attempt the real language of it. So it's a great gift to us to have this in town right now. But we've got our house band setting up here. While they're doing that, I'll tell you about one more cool thing that's going on here in town. We're going to have movies in the park. This takes place up at McClure Park. And this Saturday, it is the first one, and you get to watch one of my favorite movies. It's A League of Their Own. It's Tom Hanks and Gina Davis. Oh, and Madonna is in it. If you love Madonna, she is very cool in this movie. It's a baseball movie, and it's a baseball movie for everybody. So if you want to do that, the show starts around 8 p.m. And, well, things start going, and then they'll start the movie around 9 p.m. because they have to wait till it gets a little bit dark. Hey, it looks like these guys are ready to play you some tunes.
We're ready. And audience, we want to teach you one, and I know some people in the audience know this already, and some people listening at home know it, and it's called All God's Critters. So here's the hand motions for everyone. All God's Critters have a place in the choir. Some sing low. Some sing high. Some sing out loud. On the telephone wire. This is the hard part. Others clap their hands, paws, fins, claws, or anything you got now.
I think we've got some pros at this in the audience.
We got an animal theme going here. Elephants, animals.
Good boys?
Yeah. All God's creatures got a place in the choir. Some sing low, some sing high, some sing out loud on the telephone wire. Others clap their hands, paws, fins, claws, or anything they got now.
You gotta listen to the bass, it's the one on the bottom where the bullfrog croaks and the hippopotamus moans and groans with a big to-do. The old cow just goes. Well, the dogs and cats, they take up the middle, and the hummingbird hums and the cricket fills. Donkey brays and the pony neighs. The old coyote howls.
Ow! All God's creatures got a place in the choir. Some sing low, some sing high, some sing out loud on the telephone wire. Others clap their hands, paws, fins, claws, or anything they got now.
Take it, Larry.
Gotta listen to the top where the little bird sings on the melody with the high notes ringing. Hoot owl howls over everything and the jaybird disagrees.
Singing in the nighttime, singing in the day. Little duck quacks and he's on his way. Possum ain't got much to say and the porcupine talks to himself.
All God's creatures got a place in the choir. Some sing low, some sing high, some sing out loud on the telephone wire. Others clap their hands, paws, fins, claws, or anything they got now.
Danny.
Living song everywhere by the ox and the fox and the grizzly bear, grumpy alligator and the hawk above, the sly raccoon and the coodle dove. All God's creatures got a place in the choir. Some sing low, some sing high, some sing out loud on the telephone wire. Others clap their hands, claws, fins, claws, or anything they got now.
Okay.
A little dancing music.
Yeah, let's get up and dance a little.
Dance tune. What are you doing, Dan?
I don't know. The thing we practiced.
Okay. What was that?
We forgot.
I thought you knew.
We'll get it. I'll follow you.
A couple of Scottish tunes.
The Girl I Left Behind Me.
Can you turn your guitar?
The name of the first tune, and then Scotland the Brave.